This morning we are looking at Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 17. Lindy didn't make a mistake on the bulletin. I changed my mind and decided to carry on right down to verse 17. I'm reading from the NIV. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to be called people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greek and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel as to you who are, also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, may the Lord bless that passage to our hearts this morning. Shall we just pray and ask God to help us? Our Heavenly Father, as we come humbly before you this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, for the many mercies. Will you give us a greater glimpse of your surpassing greatness, your unspeakable goodness, and your abundant grace? We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to look at this passage, in the beginning, in verse 1, it begins with Paul's call from God. I want to just look at the verse in Galatians 1, verse 15. Paul tells us there, when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And so he goes on in verse 7 where he says, here we see his concern for these people in Rome. And so he writes to them and he says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And so he's telling them, then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, he thanks God through Jesus Christ for all of them because of their faith, which has been proclaimed throughout the whole world. And so he does not stop mentioning them always in his prayers, asking that somehow by God's will he may at last succeed in coming to them. And the reason that he wants to see them is so that he can impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them. And in that way, they may mutually be encouraged and be able to encourage each other. And then he goes on to explain how often he had intended to come to them, and his intention was that he might reap some harvest among them. He's talking obviously about a spiritual harvest. Paul's desire is to see people get saved. And he's talking of and saying it's amongst the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And then he goes on in verse 14 and he talks about being under an obligation both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. And the question that we can ask is, why does he feel obligated to these people? And the reason is this, I think that Paul realized that after he had met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and the Lord had saved him there from his former life, where he had been a persecutor of Jesus Christ's followers. And knowing his life before, at this momentous occasion had taken place, we see that Paul had put men and women into prison. He had put others to death. And the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, had come to him and delivered him from that life and given him this glorious new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of what had happened to him on that road to Damascus, verse 15, he says, he is eager now to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the non-Jews, to those people also who are in Rome. And so after his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. What an incredible transformation from a man who was persecuting the Christians. Now is the one who is preaching the gospel of the very Lord Jesus who he had been persecuting. So he's saying that first to the Jews and then also to the Gentiles. And so he's talking here about his own experience when he had put his faith in the Lord Jesus, when he met him face to face on that amazing day. Now the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Roman Church, which had been founded by just ordinary Christians who happened to be in Rome at the time, they, like Paul, had discovered for themselves the biblical gospel. They had discovered the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this had made them come alive. And so what did they do? They then established this church in Rome. Now some of you, perhaps they're sitting here this morning, you've heard the word gospel many times, and maybe you're wondering, well, what does it really mean? What is it about? Someone once said that it is the means by which God saves men from sin and misery and bestows on them eternal life. And so the question is, would you like to know this holy God whom Paul had come to know in this miraculous way? Maybe you would, like Paul, wouldn't. Maybe you would also like, as Paul was, to be adopted into God's family. And so maybe you are asking a number of questions. How can I know for sure that one day when I die I can go to heaven? How can I be accepted by God? How can I know that I will be forgiven for all my sins that I have committed? How can I know that this information in the gospel, in the word of God, is trustworthy? Well, we can find the answers to this as we study the Bible. But I just want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 this morning. And this is what it says. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us the new birth. And that's exactly what happened to Paul, wasn't it? It was through God's mercy that he was given the new birth. That was Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. This new birth brought him into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How did he get this new birth? Well, it was given to him through Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, neither Paul, nor you, nor I would have any hope in this world at all. And Paul thought that Jesus Christ was dead at this particular time when he first met him. He has this encounter with the very living Christ. And so he just wants everybody now to experience what he had experienced. And so Peter goes on in 1 Peter 1:4. He says, what is this hope, this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it actually do for us? Well, it brings us this promise of an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. And so the question is, who all is involved in granting us this new birth? Who all is involved in granting us this new birth, this salvation that had been given to Paul? You see, as far as God the Father is concerned, he thought of you in eternity before you were even born. Scripture teaches us that before the world began, he knew you and he set you apart. God sees the whole of history in one glance. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, is concerned, you can be saved because he is the one who has paid the penalty for your sins when he died in your place on that cross. The Creator came to pay for his creation, Jesus Christ the Creator. And as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, when you yield to this conviction by the Holy Spirit of your sins in your heart and in your life, as Paul was convicted, and you accept that gift that he is offering to you through the Savior, through the Lord Jesus, that's how we can be born again. And so this salvation, it will last for all eternity, we've seen. You are adopted by his grace through faith in him, putting your trust in him as a child. And that means that you would be born again of his Spirit. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, to as many as received him, that's Jesus, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God. And so that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And this is why Paul says he is not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to salvation. We have seen what this power looked like in when Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ reversed the process of decay, came alive from the dead. No man has ever done that. No man ever will, apart from the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul introduces himself to these people. He had never been to Rome, and he had not met these people that he had been writing to. So he identifies himself as a servant, as an apostle, one who had been set apart. If you and I are born again, we should have the same understanding of ourselves as the apostle Paul had there. And you have been set apart, just as Paul had been set apart. But you might say, well, wait a minute. He was an apostle. He literally saw and heard the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. We haven't done that. He was a very learned man. He was goal-orientated. He was committed. And he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ in person. Saying that we haven't seen Jesus is not an excuse. Because when Jesus calls us through the Holy Spirit, he opens our eyes and he opens our understanding, just as he did with Paul. He enables us to begin to understand spiritual things. To the natural man in the world, the Bible says it's foolishness. But to those who believe, they know that it is the power of God. Like Paul, we get saved when we were enemies, just as he was an enemy of Christ and the gospel. But you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us out of darkness and brings us into his wonderful light, like Paul, he calls us to share our faith, just as he called Paul to share his faith with others. And so the question is, we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we love the church? Do we love God's people as much as the apostle Paul did, regardless of the trials and the situations and problems that he faced? Paul considered himself an apostle. Apostles in those days were usually people who ministered alongside the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. So to be an apostle, one of the criteria is to be an apostle was that you had to have been with Jesus. And so Paul had been with Jesus. Paul did see Jesus and he received a commission from Jesus. To be an apostle means to be a sent one. And that is who Paul was. Before he was converted, he was sent by the Jewish authorities to go and capture and kill believers in Damascus. And yet, now after his encounter with the living Christ, we find that there is a complete reversal in the way he is living. He was sent by Christ now to release captives and to set prisoners of sin, to set them free. To set them free to have a growing relationship with the living God. So Paul speaks of himself as one set apart for the gospel of God. He's talking of a shepherding experience. In those days, you know, the shepherds would look after, when they were looking after their lambs, they would select a certain lamb and they would put a fence around it, set it apart from the rest of the flock. They had a purpose for it so that it could be used for breeding for the future. And so Paul talks of himself in these terms as being set apart from God for God's specific purpose. He is set apart, fenced off. We as people, apart from, we do this sort of thing in our own situation. We set elders apart for the ministry of the gospel. We set elders apart for maintaining the work of God. We set apart missionaries so that they can go and spread the good news in other parts of the world, or to be evangelists, to go from one place to another. And so we set people apart for this ministry. But here we see Jesus' commission to all believers, and that is to share the good news of salvation with everyone. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can call us and enable us to respond to the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts and draws us to himself through the hearing of God's word, as we listen to the word of God, as we read it, as it's preached. Therefore, there's this longing that grows in our hearts to be able to get to know this God. And so, how can we know Jesus if we do not hear of him? Or how can others hear of him unless somebody is sent to them? So Paul is a sent one. He is sent to go and take the gospel to others. And here we read that Paul was eager to tell the people of Rome. Why is he eager that he would want to go to these people and share the good news with them? Well, he knows that Jesus Christ is able to change their lives and prepare them for heaven. So in verse 15 we see, while Paul was eager to preach the good news, in verses 11 and 12, he desires to be an encouragement to them. But we also see that he is himself needing encouragement. He needs encouragement from these people. Paul, although he was an apostle, he certainly wasn't a proud man, because he was able to admit to himself that not only was he needing fellowship and encouragement, but that he would be able to go out and share this with others. And so we sometimes think of the Apostle Paul as somebody who was invincible. We set him on a pedestal as somebody who's unique, somebody special. And yet we see from this that Paul was just as human as what we are. Peter, that solid rock, remember how he boldly claimed on one occasion that he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we know that he denied Christ three times. And so these men had feet of clay. They were humans like us. And so this is an encouragement to us to know that they're not perfect, but they are saved through Christ. So we read of Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, and hear what he says. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And so we all feel like that from time to time, not so. And especially when it comes to being responsible to share God's word. But it is God's word, not our own words. And so therefore we can be confident when we take the word of God and share it with others. So in verse 10 he prays that God might make a level road so that he might come to them. He's saying, Lord, will you please just remove some of the obstacles so that I can walk easily to go and see these people. And then in verse 11, that he might come to strengthen them. And so he wants to impart some spiritual gift that they may be strengthened. So what would you say that spiritual gift is that he wants to impart to them, so that it'll make them strong and will bring in a harvest of souls? Well, obviously, it's the gospel, isn't it? It's the good news about Jesus. Paul is not coming to show them how strong he is. He's coming to share the good news, the gospel, with them. He isn't coming there to lord it over them as people in the world would do. Some people have been accusing him of having no interest in the church in Rome because he had not been the one who had planted the church in Rome. And so there was perhaps some jealousy amongst them. But here he is saying that is absolutely not true. He says he had planned many times to come to them. That was his great desire. There was no selfish desire or plans on Paul's part. All he wanted was for the work of God to advance. No matter who planted the work, all that mattered to Paul was that the gospel, that is the true word of God, would grow, for men and women to get saved. So in verse 12 he is saying, just as the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, so the Apostle Paul wanted to come alongside of these people to encourage them, to build them up, and to so that they might be strong in the faith. And so as we look at this, we find that in verses 14 to 7, all of this is building up in these verses. And we see there three great I am statements. You can't understand Paul apart from these three statements. This is what motivated him. Just as we cannot understand Jesus Christ apart from his three I am statements. What did Jesus say? Jesus, first of all, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Those are the three main things that present Jesus to us. And then look at what Paul says in verse 14. He says, I am obliged. He's obliged to share the gospel. Why was he obliged to share the gospel? Because God had taken him from being a wicked sinner, having people put to death and others put into prison, and transformed his life. And so therefore he's obliged to go and share this wonderful news. And then in verse 15 he says, I'm eager. He's so keen because he knows what it had done for him. It changed his life. And when you're a Christian and God changes your life, what do you want to do? You want to go and share it with other people. And so in verse 16 he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. What he is saying is, I am indebted to all cultures, Greek and non-Greeks, wise and foolish. He's saying, I'm indebted to all men to share the gospel with them. And so we see God's grace to Paul. He had been a persecutor of the church, and now he's an apostle, a sent one of God. What amazing grace. And so this puts Paul in debt. And who are his creditors? They are God's people. They are God's people. Verse 15, this is exactly why I'm eager, he is saying, because of my obligation to Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. And so he is saying, the view he has taken, we can find of himself, is in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12. And this is what he says. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this. He's not saying that now because he's come to Christ and he believes in the Lord Jesus and he knows that he's saved and that he's perfect. But what is he saying? He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And so it's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's a growing process. And how do we grow spiritually? It's by spending time with God and spending time in his word, allowing him to teach us and to train us and take every opportunity that we have of getting to know him better. And so he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Yes, we know we've given our lives to Christ, but now we need to press on. We need to grow. We are not to be immature. Of course, we find that spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4. What are our immature people like? We are not to be like infants tossed backwards and forth by waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Oh, and there's so many in the world today are like that, aren't they? Looking for this latest Christian fad and the other Christian fad. No, we are to be single-minded. We need to get into the Word of God and let God teach us and encourage us and build us up. And so he concludes in verse 17. He says that in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. Where are we going to find the righteousness of God? Where are we going to be able to understand it? It's in the Word of God as we study it. And so, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, God has planned our salvation in eternity past. He calls us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and by the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, he makes salvation possible for those who will put their trust and faith in him. And so we are enabled to understand God's plan of salvation and purpose for our lives through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us, directing us. And thus we are enabled by faith to put our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive this amazing gift of salvation. Well, as we think about these things, let's just spend a moment and come to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Shall we pray? O our God, our Heavenly Father, how can we neglect such a great salvation? Lord, may we be like the Apostle Paul today, sold out for the gospel. Lord, may we be determined to live for your honor and for your glory, with hearts that are overwhelmed with thankfulness for all that you have done for us. We ask all of these things in your name. Lord, will you give us the desire to know you better? In Jesus' name, amen.